Hello and welcome to Behind the Headlines, where we take a deeper look into some of the news stories we featured on our UK radio stations today in bulletins and reports from journalists right across the country. Today we're looking at electric vehicles.
The government has been offering all sorts of carrots for people to buy EVs.
And we're at the inquiry into the Southport attack.
The inquiry's heard about a stash of other weapons found in AR's bedroom, including a bow and arrow, a sledgehammer, and ingredients to make poison.
We start with an awful story, actually, from South Yorkshire, which has been in our bulletins today. And a man who murdered a Good Samaritan by driving into the middle of a wedding fight in Sheffield has been sentenced to 26 years in prison. Hassan Jahangir killed Chris Marriott, who'd stopped to help a woman who'd been injured in the fight. Our senior reporter Katie Lyons has more on this.
I'm behind your back.
That's the moment 25-year-old Hassan Jahangir was arrested after driving his car into a crowd of people outside his sister's wedding 2 days after Christmas. 46-year-old Chris Marriott, who'd stopped to help Jahangir's injured sister, was fatally injured.
This was a deliberate and senseless act of hot-headed and wanton violence, resulting in the tragic death of Chris Marriott and life-changing consequences for many others.
Today, Jahangir was handed a sentence of at least 26 years at Sheffield Crown Court, where he was also sentenced for offences including causing grievous bodily harm with intent. In a statement, Chris's wife, Bryony, described him as genuine, kind and loving. Her words were read out by a police officer outside court.
He was someone who others felt comfortable and safe with and was great at being a friend. He had a compassionate heart, and he loved helping, supporting and empowering others.
Chris, a keen churchgoer, had been married for 16 years and was a dad to two children. John Franks is his former boss.
I think all of us who knew him, really, we're just in a state of shock, trying to take a bit of time and space to adjust. Our real thoughts and prayers are with his wife, his children and his extended family.
Also today, Hassan Jahangir's dad was handed a suspended sentence for perverting the course of justice.
To the West Midlands now, where some schools closed early today and hundreds of police officers have been deployed. It's ahead of Aston Villa's match with Maccabi Tel Aviv in the Europa League. The away fans were banned last month over safety concerns. Our reporter Amelia Salmons has been there today for all the build-up.
Ex-police officer Ron Winch, now a local academic, says he's got confidence in the force's operation tonight.
It will be well-planned, well-led. For fans going, they can still enjoy that game.
Police bosses say safety's the top priority for anyone here, including fans, police and those choosing to protest peacefully.
Well, a story now that we've been covering as it happens all week this week. And the inquiry into the Southport attacks continued today. Today, the dad of the Southport killer says the attack wouldn't have happened if he'd reported his son's purchase of a machete to police. He's told a public inquiry it's something he really regrets. The perpetrators, referred to by his initials AR during the hearings, are regional correspondent Victoria Glover's following proceedings.
AR's father told the inquiry this afternoon he regrets not reporting a machete which was delivered to their home address in June of 2023, a year before the attack. If I did, he said, the 29th of July wouldn't have happened. The inquiry's heard about a stash of other weapons found in AR's bedroom, including a bow and arrow, a sledgehammer and ingredients to make poison, as well as an attempt made by AR the week before the dance class murders to attack his former high school. We knew it was a police matter, he said, but I didn't have the courage to do it. I'm really, really sorry, he said.
And Victoria, he became emotional, did he?
Yeah, that's right. In fact, both AR's mother and father shed tears during their testimonies today. His father said of the victims, I cry for them all the time because they are a reminder of my son who turned out to be a monster. AR's mother opened her evidence with a pre-prepared statement expressing her grief and remorse. She said each of the family members has come to the inquiry with broken hearts. There are many things, she said, that she and her husband wish they'd done differently. Anything, she said, that may have prevented the horrific event of the 29th of July 2024.
to Northern Ireland now, and this is another awful story. A Northern Ireland woman who developed cervical cancer after her smear test were misread says the Health Minister's decision not to order a public inquiry into cervical screening failings there feels cruel. Our reporter Tara Griffiths has the story.
Leona Patterson is the co-founder of Ladies with Letters, a campaign group set up after 17,500 women screened in the Southern Health Trust over a 13-year period had to have their results rechecked. The review was prompted by concerns raised by the Royal College of Pathologists about screener underperformance. The recheck found 8 women went on to develop cervical cancer after their smears were misread. Ladies with Letters have been campaigning for a public inquiry, but yesterday, Northern Ireland's Health Minister stopped short of that, instead ordering an expert review of the Trust's reports.
To compound that trauma now with insisting on another independent review, to look at already independent reviews that came about because of reviews, it's horrifying. It's something I don't think any woman that has been told that this was preventable can actually justify with the right words. Just the feeling from yesterday is that trauma has been compounded again and again, and that lack of understanding. We really do feel like we're statistics.
The Southern Trust has apologised for any distress caused, while the Health Minister says the matter has his full attention and the results of the expert review are due out next year.
Next, and there's been a mixed reaction to reports the Chancellor could bring in a 3p a mile charge for electric cars. The AA's likened it to a new poll tax. Our chief reporter Andrew Kays at the Southwest's biggest electric car charging station in Exeter.
In front of me, there's at least 50 charging stations here at the M5 motorway services, and that noise in the background is even more chargers now being installed here. It's thought this increase could cost the average driver around £250 a year. The AA say it might also reduce demand for electric vehicles. I've been gauging reaction from the drivers here. They've certainly got plenty of time to speak to me while they're sat in their cars waiting for them to finish charging.
It'd be completely ridiculous for her to do something. I mean, the government has been offering all sorts of carrots for people to buy EVs. To turn around and start charging them extra doesn't seem to be very logical to me.
Split, really. I think there's possibly a case for us contributing a bit more to upkeep of the roads.
More EVs you put on the road, the less car tax they're getting. They're all connected.
We already pay a premium for the electricity that we use.
Depends if those are going to be invested back into EV networks and making things more efficient, then maybe.
I'm not sure that a pay-per-mile system is the way to go. I do a lot of driving, so it wouldn't be great for me at all.
In a statement, the government says the fuel duty currently covers petrol and diesel vehicles, but there is no equivalent for electric ones. It says ministers want what they're calling a fair system for all, but adds they will look at measures to make electric cars more affordable and convenient. For now, the drivers sat here waiting for their cars to charge have to wait until later this month to find out what's going to be in the budget.
And you can find out more on these and other stories in the news pages of our radio station website. Don't forget to come back here tomorrow, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, or listen on the Rayo app. A new episode of Behind the Headlines is uploaded every weekday evening.